Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
Good evening, Sam. We're doing this on Sunday evening ahead of Christmas
Eve. 23rd.
Yeah, it kind of feels like Christmas Eve already to me.
It does to me. I've just been at a family do.
Yeah. I think it's because, it's because it's Sunday. And Sunday always feels like a separate day to the rest of the week. And it's everything's got that Christmas Eve vibe about it.
How's the song,
but
though?
It's not.
It was the night before Christmas. And I've blanked on the rest of it. Something about a mouse, as far as I remember.
Yeah, but it's not even that night. That's tomorrow night.
No. It's the night before Christmas, but I'm well into it. Here, listen what happened at this family do.
Oh,
I've just got
then.
Back from it now. It was very shocking. I'm embarrassed to even say it, but basically, my mother-in-law turned up round here because we were going to drive over to my brother-in-law's house, right, in Surrey. Mm-hmm. And so she came round here, and while we were getting ready, it was a mid-afternoon, early evening sort of thing, my wife remembered that in the boot of the car, she had been up the storage and discovered a quite high-quality Santa outfit that I had bought in a moment of extravagance quite a few years ago when I was asked to be Santa Claus down at the school.
Yeah.
Well, you can imagine how I reacted to that. That's a whole different story, but
so,
I mean,
given your penchant, let's say, for dressing up.
And just for like, when they asked me, it really went to my head very quickly that I, above all the other fathers and teachers in the whole school, had been hand-picked to play Santa.
Mm.
Best thing I did was they were all allowed to wear their own clothes, mufti. Mm-hmm. For it being the last day of Christmas, and they were year two, which would have made them about seven. It was my daughter's class. And so the idiots really bought into the idea that I actually was fucking Santa Claus as well. And
the idiots. You've just referred to a group of seven-year-olds as the idiots there, Sam.
Yeah, well, they're still idiotic at that age, aren't they?
Okay,
daughter knew it was me. I've gone up to one of them. He's in his Chelsea shirt. I've gone, oh dear, Santa doesn't bring Chelsea fans any presents. He looked absolutely gutted. And I went, oh, you have to change to West Ham if you want any presents from Santa. And I think I got inside his head.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he switched.
Power play.
But his dad knew it was me. His dad came and had a word with me. But I was like, well, mate, they didn't ask you to be Santa. Next year, if they ask you to be Santa, maybe you can go around telling the kids to be Chelsea fans. But I doubt they will ask you because you don't have the natural charisma and performing talents that I do. Uh-huh. So, I'm sorry, but I used it to my advantage. Anyway, we got my mother-in-law to my wife came in and said, I just got this up the storage. So we said to my mother-in-law, who's in her 70s, right, dress up as Santa. Dress up as Santa for when we get round there, right, to this family
do. Before we go any further, can I just say I'd like us to do a spin-off episode, Up the Storage.
Yeah, definitely. There is so much. I've got two storage on the go as well.
Oh, two-parter.
I've got family storage and work storage.
Oh.
So there's all sorts of tales
never
to be
the
told.
Twin
it's
shall
like,
meet.
It's like opening the Ark of the Covenant. All the ghosts come out. Anyway. So I've got to dress up as Santa, and then my son, who's seven, has gone, I'm going to dress as a reindeer, because he found some antlers and some other paraphernalia, so I was like, fair enough. But for me, it was all about getting this nan of 70-odd to dress as Santa, and it was full on. I mean, it's really good theatrical costume.
Yeah.
Because you can imagine, when I was asked to be Santa, I wasn't going to do it half-assed.
No, you weren't going to skimp. No, exactly.
I really went full. I went to a theatrical dresser's.
Your regular
place.
And so
she had a big luxuriant beard, half moon glasses, the lot.
Oh, the glasses as well. Good.
When we got out to my brother-in-law's house, my son said he was so excited because it was going to be a surprise. They were going to open the door and be confronted by Santa. Oh, and by the way, it's also got one of those bellies underneath that you strap on, you know. And so it was really, really, you couldn't tell it was her because with the wig and the hat and the beard and the glasses, it was really like, fuck, Santa's turned up. My son said, oh, Ran, he calls her Ran, he went, why don't I'm going to crawl under your legs so it looks like I'm Rudolph and you're riding on my back.
Yeah.
And before I heard him say this, and I'm carrying shit out from the car to the garden, and it's dawned on me, fucking hell, that's going to look a bit weird, right? And before I can intervene and say, don't do that, they've knocked on the door, and my brother-in-law's answered the door, and my mother-in-law's gone, ho, ho, ho. And my little son is between, she's straddling him, and it's awful, but it looks like my brother-in-law has answered the door to what looks like Santa bumming a child. A child that is wearing that. I mean, it's horrible because I'm talking about my son, but that is what it fucking legit looked like. And he didn't know what the fuck was going on. He's a very chilled, cool bloke, my brother-in-law. He's a bloke in his 50s. He's very chilled out. Nothing much shocks him. And he physically jumped backwards. He physically jumped backwards. He was like, what the fuck's going on here? And I said, he went, Jesus Christ, what's this? And then I appeared out of the shadows and I went, yeah, sorry about that, mate. It wasn't supposed to go down that way. it was a weird fucking start to the family do to launch the Christmas season. I've just got back now. It soured the atmosphere.
I was going to say, what was the rest of the event like?
No, the rest of the evening turned out all right, more or less. Yeah,
it was
fairly clean after that. There was she got out of the Santa outfit pretty quickly, and no more was said about it.
No more child bumming took place.
No, there was nothing more. I mean, it's everyone's worst nightmare, isn't it? Finding Santa bumming one of your kids,
especially on your doorstep. Yeah,
right on your fucking doorstep. Poor bloke. He's had enough happen in his life without that happening. Anyway, as I can safely say, it was all just a terrible misunderstanding. And in future Christmases, we'll look back and laugh. Now, I was looking through my notes, Andy, that I sometimes remember to make little notes of things that I want to raise with you. And although it's not, well, there's a couple of things. Recently, I decided, I think based on a tweet from you, I was in on my own on a Saturday night and I YouTubed the Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads 1974 Christmas special.
Oh, how good.
Which is the one where they commandeer Terry's forklift truck.
Yes.
That he's working on.
Yeah.
Because what's his name's locked out. So they get pissed up and, I mean, drive drunk on the forklift truck and then use the forklift truck for him to break into the top floor of his own house.
Yeah.
She's really funny. And also in it, who's the other one, not Terry?
Bob. Terry and Bob.
Yeah. They go to a Christmas Eve fancy dress party.
Yes.
Bob and his missus. And the joke that's just sort of normal is that he is spending the whole night getting off with another bird.
He is, isn't he? Hello.
And he keeps hiding in bedrooms.
Yeah.
And she keeps coming around and she's sort of saying it in a kind of quite, you're not getting off with that other bird again, are you? Like you do every year. And he's going, no, of course I'm not.
And he does.
But he fucking is.
Yeah. It's
and it's
bizarre,
just like,
isn't it?
Is that what happened in the 70s? This was the year before I was born. And I'm thinking, was that our infidelity? I mean, it would explain a lot about my own parents' broken marriage. But because he was just sort of like, it was sort of she was annoyed, but at the same time, it was more annoyed in the sort of way that you'd expect it to be if he left the toilet seat up.
Yeah, it was like, it's a Christmas party, everyone's in fancy dress, therefore swinging must occur.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll tell you what as well, Thelma looks well fit as well. She's dressed up as, what's she dressed up as again?
Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
No, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Sorry, that's me. I'm always thinking Robin Hood. Probably Robin Hood, I imagine.
Bob's,
that's Bob, what I'd have gone as.
Is it Bob's Captain Hook, isn't he? Bob's Captain Hook, and she's Peter Pan. Yeah. She's fucking well fit in that one. in that episode.
She's really fit. So I don't know why he's, this other one who he's getting off with is sort of a bit more brassy.
Yeah.
Certainly less classy. Still, exactly the sort, I suppose, that if you had a Thelma that you were married to, it made sense. Anyway, no, I'm trying to justify it. It was really bad. And anyway, the joke is Terry's a minicab driver. And
yeah,
he's the one who's ferried them to and from the party, and he becomes complicit in the infidelity.
Yeah.
You know, it's awful, really. But it was a great show. So I meant to tell you that I'd seen that a few weeks ago when Anna was out. I was in on my own, so I sort of lay in bed on a Saturday night watching that on my iPad, and I'm pretty sure it was off the back of you mentioning it in a tweet. So thanks for that.
Yeah, I'm just looking. It doesn't seem to be scheduled anywhere on the BBC this Christmas, which is an atrocity because it's on most Christmases. But it is on YouTube in its entirety, isn't it?
It's in YouTube's entirety. Then after that, it was hard for me to follow because then I tweeted last week, what other great classic Christmas specials should I be watching on YouTube? So I had another night in on my own. And nothing, I don't know, most of the good ones I've seen, like most of the good Only Fools and Horses ones I've seen.
Yeah.
I've seen all the good Porridge ones. So they kind of warrant a rewatch, but the good thing about the Lightly Lads one was I'd never seen it. So it felt fresh.
I think it's the best episode out of the whole run of whatever happened to the Lightly Lads.
Really?
And it's also the last one they made as well.
Ever?
It was the very last one, yeah. They made the film.
But then the feature film came after that,
didn't it? Yeah, the film came about 2 years later, but that was the last episode of the sitcom.
My cousin Bruce watched the film yesterday and messaged me about it and sent me the poster. And you're probably familiar with the poster, but I'm going to tweet it out after we've recorded this because it is one of the funniest posters for a film I've ever seen.
I don't think I've seen it.
Basically, both Bob and Terry on the poster. It's a sort of illustration, you know, like it, very much like a Carry On poster. You know, they had sort of drawings of them all, caricatures.
Yeah.
Terry and Bob both seem to have been heavily on the iron filings in the poster. And then there's just a load of birds jumping in and out of beds in their undies. Anyway, while I was doing my research, mate, a program came up. While I was digging around for things to watch, a programme came up that never had a Christmas special, but was one that when I was about between the age of maybe 10 and 12, I was a massive fan of because I had a deep, deep crush on the main character in it.
Okay.
And it's a show that I suspect you will be familiar with and you may even have extra intel on. The show is starring one of our favourite actors from my favourite all-time show, Dick Turpin. It's Me and My Girl, starring Richard O'Sullivan. And the reason this has come into my head again is because we saw Meghan Markle go round the old entertainer's old people's home last week and bump into our mate Dick Turpin.
That's right, we did.
Which was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I was thinking about him, and then I thought, oh, shit, that reminds me. I've been meaning to mention Me and My Girl to Andy. But on our football podcast.
You didn't have a crush on Richard O'Sullivan in that, did you?
Well, I did in a sense, didn't I?
Yeah, because that's just standard.
In a different sense, Samantha, his daughter, who would have been about my age, but was impossibly glamorous and sophisticated.
She was, wasn't she?
Jesus Christ, I had a crush on her.
Say. She was called Joanne something, I think. Hang on, Me and My Girl.
I've just been...
Joanne
I've
Ridley.
Just been,
Joanne Ridley.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to her since. I can't get any further intel on her now.
Well, I'm going to try and find out.
Tim Brooke Taylor, Rich O'Sullivan was an ad executive, and his ad agency was called Eye Catchers,
which
I think is a shit name for an advertising. I mean, if your job is to manage other companies' images, and you've chosen to call your own company Eye Catchers, then, to be honest, you're not doing yourself much of a service there. Anyway, that aside, his business partner was Tim Brooke Taylor. And
it was inoffensive Friday Night Fare, wasn't it?
Yeah, he had a battle axe. He had a battle axe mother-in-law called Nell Cresset, played by Joan Sanderson.
Yeah.
And was his mother-in-law from... Because Sam's mum was dead. But they kind of talked about that in a really, like, blasé way.
Oh, well.
The mum was still on the scene. And she was poking her nose into it because he had not hesitated to start fucking playing the field as soon as his missus had passed away.
She wasn't even cold, was she? And he was out there.
No, she wasn't cold, and he was putting it about left, right, and centre. You know, young, you're like decent looking lad, got his own advertising agency, got a few quid in the bank, you know.
Yeah, exactly. He had all the looks and the charm of Richard O'Sullivan, so, you know, what's
he had
not
it
to
all.
Love
he
that?
Had it all going for him. The only thing holding him back was he had a daughter and a battle axe mother-in-law still on the scene.
And he can't remember Tim Brooke Taylor as well. I've got some intel on Joanne Ridley.
Oh, yeah.
Go on, then. who played Samantha. It says on imdb.com, she moved to California in the 1990s and changed her name to Iona Sims. And she now works as a midwife.
Dickens. Is that right? Under the name of Iona
Sims?
That's
what IMDb says. Iona Sims, a midwife in California now. Hmm. I think we should go out there.
How far should we take this? I think we should. I think we should track her down and get her involved in Top Flight Time Machine.
Definitely.
Maybe next season. Maybe next season she could replace Results Bot.
I reckon so, yeah, because he'll move on to bigger and better things next season.
Inevitably, the way that relations have broken down between ourselves and ResultSpot mean that there will be a natural parting of the ways at the end of this season, at the latest.
Yeah, of course.
We'll be looking for a replacement long term. It may be that we have to appoint an interim should he disappear on us before the season's out. He might even do a... Ant McParland and have to go into rehab or something.
That could well happen, yeah. He'll probably just leave some predictions, you know, in advance for us, though, before he does that.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
Right, as soon as we're talking about results, but let's have a look at the prediction league. And I've got to say, Sam, it has been an absolutely game-changing weekend.
Yes. I'm taking that as good news.
Of the three of us, only one managed to get a correct scoreline right, and that was you on Friday night, Wolves 0, Liverpool 2.
Excellent.
But you had an extraordinary weekend, Sam. You managed to rack up 6 points in
total. Come on.
I got 3 points.
Yeah.
And ResultSpot got one fucking solitary point.
In your fucking smug, metal, shiny, stupid face.
Get a load of that.
You fucking robotic bellend.
So, I mean, you went back to basics a few weeks ago and you sort of reinvented yourself, started again, just started predicting.
Yeah.
And it's starting to pay off. Here's how the table looks now. You're still bottom on 47 points.
Yeah.
I'm in second place on 48 points. ResultSpot still in the lead, but on 50 points. You're now 3 points behind ResultSpot.
Game on. Game on, motherfucker. That's my message to ResultSpot.
And we're going into, of course, the busy Christmas period as well.
What did I say? When I made my speech, my now historical speech, about how I was going back to basics, trusting my instincts, and I was going to refer back to my training in the Dutch school of predicting.
You were deploying some Dutch techniques, weren't you?
They call it total predicting.
Yeah.
And it means you can predict flexibly in any situation.
From any angle. Yeah.
From any angle. And that's what I did. I stopped overthinking it. I started going back to the way I predicted when I was a kid in the playground.
Mm.
I used to predict with my mates in the playground or out at night in the street. Just out in the street
just
after
it was
your tea.
Dark. Yeah.
We'd predict till it was dark until your mum was shouting, come back in, stop predicting.
Yeah, predicting we freely and without abandon, weren't you?
We used to predict so hard, occasionally we'd break a neighbour's window and have to all scarper laughing our heads off. But that was what it was like back then.
It doesn't happen anymore. Kids these days, they've all got these prediction things on their Xboxes. They've got prediction software.
It's health and safety. And parents nowadays, they wrap their kids in cotton wool.
Yeah.
They don't let them predict out on the street at night because they think some sort of nonce is going to come along and nonce them up while they're doing their predicting.
Ask them about their predictions and ask them about why they think Liverpool are going to beat Swansea 3-1.
You lads predicting? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I used to be in a predicting game myself. I might be able to get you a trial at one of those top-flight professional predictors.
Yeah.
No, it's all right, mister. I'm not supposed to talk to grown-up predictors. Oh, it's all right. Come over here.
I live down the street from your dad. I've known your dad for years. It's all right. Come on, let's sit on the curb and do a bit of predicting, the three of us. Sit closer, a little bit closer, that's right.
You can't predict sat like that. You've got to get close if you want to predict properly, like a professional.
Cold night like this. You can't predict when you're cold.
You can't think straight if you're cold. All right, our impressions of nonces are too good. Right, anyway, I got back to basics and I said to you, mate, I said Christmas. It's all about Christmas. I knew it'd be this period. Now we're going into this period and look what is happening.
You did. And you know what?
He's taking his eye off the ball.
Your total prediction methodology, it's happening now. I'm going to get you to break more scores right now. Boxing Day, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Right.
And look at me. I'm not thinking. My eyes are shut. It's like when Luke Skywalker flies the X-Wing into the Death Star with his fucking eyes shut.
Right. Okay. Burnley versus Everton. Bear in mind, Burnley lost 3-1 at Arsenal. Everton have been spanked 6-2 at home by Spurs earlier.
Burnley 1, Everton 2.
Burnley 1, Everton 2. I'm going 0-0 for that one. I think they're both going to want to try and go for a clean sheet. But we've differed there. We've differed in many other predictions in the past. But let's not let it come between us. Right, results bot obviously says 1-0 to Burnley. Let's move on. Leicester City versus Manchester City. Shall I go first with this one while you think about it? Of course, Manchester City were beaten by Crystal Palace yesterday, so I think they'll bounce back with a 3-1 win to Manchester City.
Yeah, well, Leicester played very well against Chelsea, but...
They did.
City will be stung by that result against Palace, so I'm going to predict Leicester 0, City 2.
Leicester 0, City 2. Let's write that down there. And results bot, of course, says 1-0! Prick. To Anfield for Scout Christmas. Liverpool, this is Newcastle. Rafa Benitez going back to where he made his name.
You remember
in English
football. Those nights, those magical nights in the 90s, 4-3, with Stan Collymore in the last minute? That's the sort of stuff dreams are made of. You couldn't make that stuff up even if you were Cara Lane or some other top writer.
Alan Bleasdale! Or Phil Redmond!
Even creator. In the imaginations of the holy trinity of British writers. Bleasdale, Redmond and Lane, even if all three of them got together to think up the best story they could ever think of, they'd have never have thought of them 2-4-3s in the 90s.
What do you reckon then, 4-3?
Yeah, 4-3. Do you know what? I'm predicting 4-3 to Liverpool in that game.
Oh, God, I'm going to predict 2-0 Liverpool.
Okay.
And of course, results bot says 1-0.
I have tears streaming down my face.
And they were both on a Monday night. They were both on a Monday night. Can you believe I had to go into work next day? onwards to Old Trafford, Manchester United playing Huddersfield. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's first home game as Manchester United's new pretend manager.
Yeah,
started well at the weekend, 5-1.
I've got a bold prediction for this, another bold prediction.
Go on then.
I think this will be Manchester United 5, Huddersfield 0.
5-0. I'm going to go for 4-0.
Okay.
And of course, results bot will go for 1-0, which will probably turn out to be correct, the fucker.
Finally, I'll tell you though, right? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, he's a good manager, right? I reckon we'll probably win the league now.
Yeah. We've given the rest of them a 25-point head start, but no problem. We got another Gunnar Solskjaer. He'll probably come on and play himself.
He's still a good lad, that Ole Gunnar.
He's still got the baby face. He'll probably come on and have a game himself. When we're 9-0 up. And the last one is Watford versus Chelsea.
Watford, Chelsea, fucking hell. I went to that West Ham Watford yesterday and Watford were good. It was a good game.
Mm.
West Ham were good. Watford were a bit better.
Watford are my favourite Premier League team, I should say.
Are they?
They are.
Yeah, they are fucking good to watch. They got a lot of good players.
They just fucking get on with it. There's no messing about. There's no bullshit or bollocks. They just get on with it, and they're seventh in the league at the minute.
I've got to say, it was a good game, and it was one of those ones where you sort of think, I'd forgotten what it was like to lose a game, but still come away thinking, that was a good match, I enjoyed that, because I was gutted we lost, but it was fucking, there was just loads of chances at both ends, and in the end, they just about edged it, but not because we were dog shit, just that they were really good.
That's nice.
So
very festive.
Anyway, who are they playing?
Chelsea.
Fucking hell, I hope they beat Chelsea. Yeah, fuck it, I'm going to say 2-1
Watford. 2-1
Watford.
I'm going to go 1-1 for that one.
Mm.
Okay, and that's the prediction league. We'll be back in a few days and we'll see how you've fared. I don't know when the next
group of games are on. I've had a good week and now suddenly I'm predicting 4-3s, 5-0s, Watford beating Chelsea, which it's uncharacteristic of me to let a small amount of success go right to my head. Is it?
No, not at all, yeah.
It's not the sort of thing people would associate me with.
No, definitely not.
So,
I'm looking to see when the next matches are on. The next matches are on Saturday. So we'll get some predictions in on Friday as well for the weekend.
This is it!
Right, so that's the prediction league dealt with. Not a lot going on, really. So shall we move on to some Billy bullshit?
Yeah, hang on a minute. Listen to this, right? I tweeted Liam Gallagher because Liam Gallagher had written a great Christmas tweet.
Yeah.
He tweeted, come on, Christmas, let's fucking have you. LG. He always signs it LG. So I thought, that is wonderful. That's a lovely tweet. So I said, Liam, what's the best quality street? So the responses I've had, none of which as yet are from Mr. Gallagher himself. Some geezer's written... Dallas Red has written, celebrations, fuck Quality Street in the ass all day long. What?
Ooh.
What is the mentality of people like that?
Fucking hell. Bumming.
My mate Simon Bumming London's Quality tweeted Street. Back, and I believe that's what it says on the tin. well, if it doesn't, it should do. Someone else has just tweeted back directly to my Liam Gallagher question, and frankly, it's none of their business.
Yeah.
Everyone has to fucking interfere, don't they?
Yeah.
Delaney, why no blue tick? Right?
Oh.
On my Twitter account. I've written not important enough. Do you know what he's written back?
What?
Why is that? That cunt Dawson's got one.
I should point out
what
as well.
A cheeky
it's, not
bugger.
A fucking, it's not a fucking blue tick. It's a white tick. It's in a
you
blue
what?
Circle. It's a white tick. It's in a blue
circle.
Yeah,
well. Yeah, we'll tell him
pedant.
That. That'll shut him up.
I don't
know
if
shut him up.
This, but yeah, that's what it is.
His name's Flan Flynn.
Okay.
That's what he's on Twitter.
Let me read some bullshit out.
Keep an eye on him, yeah.
Let me read some bullshit out for you. See what you think of these. This is from Dirk McDonald. In 1997, a mate of mine just got the internet and told us he'd seen a paparazzi pic of Des Lynam hoovering naked. We called bullshit, so he invited us round the next day. He then spent 2 hours trying to find said picture, surprisingly without success.
Fucking hell, that's a stupid bullshit. Because he's tried to back it up. I've seen people do that before and it's actually horrific. It's really horrific.
It's embarrassing, isn't it?
When I know someone's bullshitting, I never ask them for proof because it's just too horrific. I just let them carry on bullshitting. It's more rewarding for me. I never want to catch a bullshitter out because I don't need to. I know they're bullshitting, they know they're bullshitting. In many ways, I see them as doing me a service by telling me a great bullshit that I can remember and chuckle to myself about for years to come. So I encourage them. I don't try to stop them and disprove them. It's not fucking court of law. It's not crowd court. right? It's, that's not what it's about. If someone's taken the time and energy to dream up an outlandish bullshit for you, fucking sit back, listen, and if you've got anything to say, say things that will encourage them to broaden out the bullshit. That's so, the only civilised way to respond to it.
So if you'd gone round his house and watched him search the internet for 2 hours trying to find a picture of Des Lynam, you'd have just sort of sat back and been really disappointed and crestfallen when he couldn't find it.
Yeah, no, I would have said, oh, I would have chucked in, I would have said, oh, you know what it might be, mate? Des Lynam's probably, because he's like a billionaire, he's probably got like a huge hangar full of lawyers and internet experts who look day and night for incriminating images and take them down. And he'll go, yeah, that's, and then that will encourage, he'll jump on that and then probably go deeper and claim that he knows for a fact that's what they're doing and that they're also, Des Lynam's people are spying on him, et cetera, et cetera.
Des will have had it flagged up when that picture was looked at. So then immediately the lawyers took
it
down.
Wherever Des is anywhere in the world, say it happens, right? Someone searched and found that image. Wherever Des is on the world, let's say he's on his private jet flying between Monte Carlo and Palm Springs. Yeah. And suddenly he's got a special watch and it goes beep, 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 beep. And Des, who's just probably having a noshing off of one of the stewardesses, goes, excuse me, young lady, just one moment. And like he walks away and he looks at his watch and he goes, oh, it appears that someone back in Blighty has managed to source an image of me hoovering naked. I'll get my team on it immediately. And then he just he sets off an alarm and they all get onto it.
Yeah. And he gets back to his nosh.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. As you were, carry on.
slaps his thigh as she recommences. Here's another one from Steve
Straightens
Smith.
Straightens his cravat and gets back to work.
Here's another one from Steve Smith. As kids, me and my mate went on bike rides. Who didn't? One day, he came to my house on his bike and said he'd gone on a bike ride without me and found a house in the woods. Inside the house, he saw six aliens sat at a table having a meeting. He says, they saw
having
him
a meeting. Yes.
A meeting at a table.
All sitting around with pads and pens and a plate of biscuits in the middle. Alien meeting. I call this alien meeting to order. Let's first just do some introductions. My name is Zog. I am head of marketing.
Shall we do one of those ice-breaking games where I tell you one thing about me that's true and two things that are lies and you've got to work out which is which? And I recently took command of the 8th quadrant overnight and reduced it to the size of a pea. Second thing is, I have met Ollie Merz. And the third thing is, I am double jointed.
Fucking hell, I can't believe he has stumbled across, this kid stumbled across an alien works away team building day in an abandoned mansion in the woods. What happened next?
I'll tell you what happened next. Because Steve Smith tells us, he says they saw him, gave chase, and now they knew where I lived.
Oh!
They chased him through the woods.
Oh, there is a human boy observing us. Chase him. Chase him. Chase him all the way back to his house if you have to. Find out where his gaff is. We know where your gaff is, human boy. We'll be back at night time.
Right, that's that one. And finally from Luke on Twitter. I had a mate at school who came into school one day in crutches. Whilst in geography, the teacher called him up to collect something. And he just strolled up to the teacher's desk crutch-free with no limp. When she asked about his leg, he went, oh, yeah, and hobbled back to his desk. This same mate also claimed he had 3 sets of teeth. Baby, adult, and then another set of adult.
Oh.
And that he'd also, and that he'd also gone from a size 2 to a size 9 shoe in one go.
Brilliant lie. That is an extremely imaginative lie. That's that's really imaginative.
Keep them coming to us on Twitter at TF Time Machine.
I've got a great lying character of yore. I'll just touch upon it to whet your appetite for later on in Christmas, but he's been top of my notes for a long time, and it's astonishing that I've never brought this character up on Top Flight Time Machine before, because in amongst all of the other mad characters that I've spoken about in the past, Pancho from the Flats, etc., etc., this one is easily the best. His name is Archie Buchanan, the Unigate milkman who moved in with us when he started going out with my mum and lived with us for a whole year.
It's already brilliant.
He was an astonishing and prolific liar. And the lie that I will get you all started with before going into further detail on one of our subsequent Christmas podcasts, because these podcasts are going to be important for the sanity of myself, of Andy, and hopefully for some of you out there, because it's going to be a tough, bleak period between Christmas and New Year. So that's why I've decided to save what I call the Archie Buchanan Chronicles for this, the festive season.
Okay.
I'll tell you this much about Archie Buchanan for now. My mum met him at a disco called the Chat Noir, which translates from French into the Black Cat. She met him and he was a milkman at the local Unigate dairy. He had the hairstyle and moustache of Terry McDermott. He looked basically like fucking a Scottish Ronald McDonald. He had a big 80s bubble perm and a big bushy moustache. And he wore grey slip-on shoes. And he delivered milk around the area. And one day I just got up and he was just there in my house. And I recognised him as one of the local milkmen. And I said, what's he doing here? And my mum said, he's staying for a few nights. Well, the cunt stayed for a year. It was actually all right to me, but he was an alcoholic. Anyway, he was from Edinburgh. And his most notorious lie that we still talk about to this day is that he swore blind that he'd played for Hibernian several times, first team player for Hibernian. Never explained why he'd wound up quite swiftly down in London working on the milk float, but he swore blind. This is obviously before the internet and stuff. You just think, fucking Hibernian, we had no means of researching that. But he claimed he had played top flight football in the Scottish Premier League. He played against Rangers, Celtic, the lot. He played in midfield for Hibernian. Well, years later, I mean, there are more lies to come, and I'm aware that we don't have time to go through them now, but years later, I told this story on TalkSport one afternoon when I was hosting a TalkSport show. And people listened and responded and started fucking digging. And it turned out there was an Archie Buchanan who played for Hibernian, which blew my mind momentarily, because I thought, fucking hell, all these years, me and my brothers have looked back and exchanged stories about the legendary Archie Buchanan, this milkman who moved in for us for a year in about the year 84, 85 it was. And we always laughed about how he claimed he played for Hibernian. It was clearly bollocks. But at the time, me as the youngest, I'd sort of chosen to believe him. Then some of the TalkSport listeners get in touch and go, well, we've done some digging. There fucking was an Archie Buchanan. Thank Christ it was a false alarm, because that Archie Buchanan had played for Hibernian, but in the 1930s. Which then, in turn, made me think that maybe the Archie Buchanan who we knew, who lived with us, had stolen the... You know, people steal identities off of gravestones, don't they? So maybe he had to come down to London. He was the sort of bloke you could easily imagine. He was probably on the run. He was a bad sort of a character. And I thought, well, maybe he stole this ex-Hibernian footballer's identity off of a gravestone in Edinburgh, came down with a backstory about having played for Hibs.
Yeah.
I don't know. None of it really matters now, because I am fucking certain the bloke will be dead of booze by now. Because, I mean, he was half dead of booze back then in the 80s. So he'll be long gone by now. But anyway, that's Archie Buchanan. I have a treasure trove of stories about him and his time spent with my family. And you'll be hearing more of him over the festive season. I'm not bringing him up just randomly. I'm bringing him up in the context of our bullshit theme, because he is an emperor of bullshit.
Can I suggest that Archie Buchanan from, was it the 1930s, did you say, or the 1920s?
Yeah, 1930s.
Perhaps he was our time traveller from the previous episode.
Oh, I forgot about our time traveller, yeah.
Maybe it was him. We'll just consider that. I'm just putting that out there. Let's not go any further with it, but that's something to think about.
I'm
going to
put some thought to that. I can also send a... I've got a good picture. There's only one historical picture archive that features Archie Buchanan. And right. It's a group shot of where me, my brothers, my mum, and a load of other locals, don't think Pancho from the Flats was among them. I'll have to double check. Went on a coach trip. Everyone from the area, all the families, chipped in, got a coach down to Margate.
Right.
And, or it might have been Littlehampton. But anyway, there was a big group photo taken outside the coach in about the year 1984.
And he's on there.
And standing at the back, you can just see Archie Buchanan really sheepishly hiding because you know he's a man who's trying to protect his identity. I'll tweet it out. People can draw their own conclusions.
This isn't going to end, is it? We're going to find out who he really was.
Yeah.
At last. Right, that's it. That's all we've got time for because, as I say, it's Sunday evening and I've got boozing to do. We'll be back. We'll be back the other side of Christmas. We'll try and get a Keegan Odyssey in later this week if we can, because we did a couple of episodes of that last week and the computer fucking ate them. Results bot got in the way, and
they're lost episodes. For years, these will be like, in years to come, these will be like those sort of lost Doctor Who episodes that nerds go on about. They're but in they're the not archive or you know, lost Beatles they're recording, fucked. Something like that.
We'll be back on Friday, I reckon, as well with some pre-weekend predictions. All it leaves for us to say now is Merry Christmas to all of you from both of us.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
And enjoy your Christmas festivities and that. If you don't celebrate Christmas for whatever reason, do whatever you fucking do.
Then happy. Yeah, if you, you know.
Have a good week.
Yeah, just enjoy yourself. Drink anyway.
Yeah, just get on
drink
with it.
Drink to forget, everyone. That's our message for you.
That's what I'll be doing. All right, ta-da. Thanks a lot then. Bye-bye, everyone.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.